That was interesting. Anyway, welcome to Monday Night Kickoff Show. I'm your host, Charles Levi, also known as Redfish Chuck. I will be somewhat solo from my typical partner in crime, Mr. Pepe Vidal, as we hope that his family heals up quick. Excuse me. I have a little bug going around throughout the house there. So, with that being said, let's hit a little hit a button. Give myself a good 31 seconds to figure out exactly what it is I'm supposed to do tonight.
Give me the flat to dawn with plenty of tailing fish
and the perfect fly rod.
Yeah!
And get ready for some magic.
What an awesome eat, man!
I got one!
Oh, damn, I got him, you got it. I got him.
Join Bonefish and Tarpon Trust.
Nice fish.
And help make sure that the magic never ends. Visit tarbone.org to find out how you can help.
There you go. Bonefish Tarpon Trust, great organization. Check them out. I've got TJ on the line with me. TJ's going to be joining me tonight as my unofficial official co-host of the evening. What's up?
What's going on, brother?
It's another wonderful day. What's in my good? Neighborhood.
Yeah. Another beautiful rainy evening in the neighborhood.
Lots of rain. Rain sucks. Rain has a way of trying to put a damper on Monday fun day. However, we can rise above the rain. I don't know if we can really rise above the rain. But we can rise above the rain and have a good time, regardless of whether or not it's raining.
Absolutely.
There you go. Oh, I am so lost right now. I don't know what to start talking about. TJ, tell me about the weekend, man. Let's talk a little bit about your experience for the Fishkins tournament. First of all, hold on. I'll give you a second to think about how you want to go about talking about that particular situation that unfortunately happened to you later on in the day for the tournament. So, Fishkins Apparel. Many of you know Anthony and the guys from Fishkins. They're local here to Brevard County. Been doing their job for quite a while now. Got really cool skeleton art and skeleton type fish art, zombie art, however you want to pronounce or however you want to describe it. Guys, every year every year these guys put on two great tournaments. All right. They do the Slam tournament now, which basically consists of everything you can ever catch ever in the river. And then they do the Redfish tournament later on in the year. This past weekend, there was the Redfish tournament, so that was cool. You got to be me and Steve Lester from Wild Florida Outdoors. We got to do the judging for the CPR, catch, footer, release section of the tournament, and that went fairly well. But we didn't get to fish it. I could promise you it was a tough day. Looking at the list of contestants and seeing who brought fish in and who didn't, and, you know, the size of fish and this, that, and the other. It was somewhat of a tough day out there. Well, on the phones joining me, as I said earlier, TJ, who did spend some time on the water that day. Want to tell us about the conditions and how they may have played a favor or played a hazard in the fishing for the day?
Well, kind of a long story, really, to begin with. But
we have an hour and a half, brother. Feel free to talk as long as you want.
Got a pretty early start on the day to start off, for the most part. My plan originally, since, you know, I'm fishing out of a kayak, since there's been so many big fish out in the port landed lately, I figured I'd just kind of gamble and roll the dice and try to make my way out there to those bait pots in the kayak. And, you know, I was going to just do it artificial only more than anything because it's just been working. You know, so brought some heavy tackle with me. Wasn't really planning to go inshore for any specific reason at all. Headed out offshore with some, you know, some pretty heavy stuff. 7.6 heavy action rods pretty much. Some 5,000 class spinning gear. You know, tried to get on this fish. I was using a bucktail with a Slayer Ink sticky paint as kind of a tip. And got out there, got past and got into the bite, and spent about an hour and a half kind of paddling around, searching for some bait, found some bait, dropped down in the bait, and got a hook up almost instantly on about a 10-pound jack. That went on for, God, I must have caught about three of those things, like right off the rip. And after that, it started getting a little beyond 40 for my liking in the kayak that I am paddling in. So decided to turn around, and I was kind of like mind-boggled, but I decided to turn around and try to figure out a different game plan. So head back into the boat ramp, and I was kind of mind blown because, you know, I live in Titusville and I'm all the way over in Cape Canaveral, and didn't bring any light action stuff with me for inshore fishing. Didn't really bring a whole lot of artificial for inshore fishing, really, to be honest with you. And did not bring a cast net with me, so My secondary plan for kind of like a bait and wait for inshore was kind of out of the question. And pulled up back up to the boat ramp, started talking with some gentlemen, and I'll be damned if they didn't, you know, put me a cast net real quick on loan and said, "Hey, man, you know, use our cast net, dude, since you're in a tournament, and, you know, grab you some bait real fast." So I was like, wow, well, that's awesome, because now I don't have to go back to Titusville. So grab some bait at the ramp, headed out to the no motor zone, east launch. And the wind was still, you know, playing that part, and it was still overcast. So while I could, there was a little window where it wasn't blowing as hard. Got up, kind of started paddling around. Ended up passing up like five schools of slot fish, looking for a heavy spotted fish. So I figured, well, heck, if I can't win the CPR, then maybe I can get in the spots, you know, get somewhere on the spots. And pass up like five schools of slot fish, end up looking for a heavy spotter, and couldn't find a fish with darn near like any other spots, you know. And so I said, heck with it. And found my way over to a shoal, and it was, you know, the conditions were just right. Decided to post up on a shoal real quick with some good old live finger mullet. Play the gamble there for a little while. And I'll be darned, about 20 minutes of sitting there twiddling thumbs. Not something I usually do, bait and wait, but, you know, I had to kind of go with what I could go with. And yeah, sure as heck, end up hooking up on a monster of a fish. Took me round and round, started stripping me off so good that I ended up jumping back in the kayak and let him pull me around for a good solid almost 20 minutes. And it was by quite a large increment the biggest fish I've ever hooked in my life. I got a 48-inch coal board, and the fish, the whole tail of the fish was over my coal board. So, I mean, I never got the fish into the kayak. If I had to guess, I'd say it was somewhere around 53 inches, somewhere around that, about that. I had the fish leadered up to the side of the kayak, and from using that heavy tackle and bringing that fish in so green, kind of did a little bit of damage to the corner of the fish's mouth. The hook was real loosely in there, and I reached over to grab a pair of grippers real quick, tried to grab my phone to take a picture, you know, get everything set up, and sure as heck, one head shake is all it took, and off he went. I went off the side of the kayak, tried to get him back, and like I say, he was so green that he was just, he was up and running. Couldn't get him back. Lost the biggest fish of my life in the middle of the tournament.
That sucks. There's no way, I mean, there's nothing else to say about that, dude. It just sucks.
I thought so, too.
Yeah. I mean, when I saw you, when you come walking up, you have this look on your face like your best friend had just been punched in the throat and somebody kicked your dog in the head and your truck got stuck and your old lady left you and the kids don't like you. That's kind of how you look.
I was so upset that I almost, because my house is, you know, on the way to the weigh-in over there at Old Florida Bar and Grill, and it took everything in my soul to pull into the weigh-in to kind of hang out with everybody. I was just so discouraged, I felt like puking.
It's crazy.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, it was a great event, though. I mean, overall, those who did bring in fish brought in some fairly nice fish, and
oh, absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
Yeah,
I
what was interesting.
After the fact.
Go ahead. Go ahead. What were you saying?
I had fun even after the fact of losing that fish, no matter what. I mean, it's always a challenge. Tournament fishing is a challenge. You know, you're rolling the dice every time you go out there and you fish. You know, but you can't win that hand unless you play those cards. So, you know, it is what it is.
This is very true. Very true. Yeah, and I was talking to a lot of folks, and what was interesting is it seemed that most people who went out looking for big fish, slot fish, threw bait. There wasn't a whole lot of folks throwing plastics, from what I understood. A lot of folks were soaking bait, hoping for a big slot fish, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's, I mean, you know, when you're dealing with that type of turn-in on the cast spot, that's exactly what everybody's going to be doing. They're going to be, you know, trying their darnest to get those big fish in and, you know, get them called up and get them away, and hopefully, you know, they turn them in, the fish is nice and green, and walk home with a bunch of money, you know, or ride home with a bunch of money.
Yeah, exactly. Well, either way, it was good. I'm looking right now. I'm trying to find the list of I guess they probably would have it on their Facebook page, a list of all of the winners and people who placed and such. I would imagine Anthony would have posted that up by now. Let's see. Perhaps. Captain's meeting, that's the last time they posted anything. Hello. Maybe next week we'll try and find an actual list of... I know that we've got a couple of honorable mentions. I know that Jeremy took second place in Big Fish. I believe that was a 43.25-inch fish. Mark Krasnick took third place with a nice 42.5-inch fish, I believe is what it was. I can't remember the guy's name who took Big Fish, but it was 44 inches. So that was pretty close, you know, between the top three, fairly close anyhow.
Oh, yeah.
And they're all beautiful fish, I mean, great-looking fish. All the photos that were taken for the top three were perfect. You know, what's funny is we actually had to disqualify one person's fish picture because you couldn't see the fish's head.
Really?
It was kind of in a shadowy area of the photo, and there was nothing we could do to lighten it up to where we could have seen it. So that that was kind of unfortunate for him. But hindsight being what it is, it wouldn't have made a difference. He didn't have a fish that was in the 40-inch range anyhow, I don't believe so.
Gotcha.
What were you going to say?
Now, was that picture taken in the early morning, do you know? Or was it just, you know, more or less a camera fault or what?
No, I think it was just that the angle of the sun versus the angle where you had the fish's head stuffed, like it was in the foot well of a kayak, so, you know, by where your foot peg would be. So typically not exactly the best place to put a fish if the sun is just not right, you know, not straight overhead. So
gotcha.
I'm sure that they learned a lesson with that one. But That's the thing about it, too, is that, you know, there's a lot to all of these tournaments, especially CPR tournaments. There's a lot more that goes into it than just going out and catching fish. Dude, this sounds really, really funny, but I can't tell you how many fish I've put back during a tournament after taking a picture and forgetting to put the token in.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
I'm pretty sure that I'm just
like
not.
The biggest issue of all, pretty much, is just make sure the darn token is in the picture.
Yeah, like I think that. Yeah, that's probably why I don't fish tournaments. Because I just know at some point during the day I'm gonna screw myself up. Like, it's just gonna happen. It's inevitable.
I'll tell you what, yeah. I did. I actually. I took a lanyard and screwed it to my call board, and it has a clip on the end of it. So pretty much whatever token they give you, I just clip it to my darn lanyard. It's already on my call board. You know, I'm a kayak guy, so it's kind of like you got to be as modular as you can, and you can't forget anything, you know. So that's what I've been doing.
Yeah, well, yeah. There's a lot of guys that have different tricks. I know that Puppy, one of the things that he does is, when he's not fishing the boat division, right, they give him a little bit of crap because he's on a kayak fishing radio show and he constantly fishes boat tournaments. So, no, I'm kidding. It's awesome. I'm jealous. Whatever. No, but I know what he does is he typically has a really strong clip that he clips the token straight to the back of his measuring board. And it goes there as soon as he gets it and doesn't come off till after the tournament's over, so.
Yeah, a lot of guys are doing that, using a big, fat binder clip. Yep.
Yep. Very smart. Very smart. I remember I was fishing the Emily tournament 2 years ago, and, not this past year, the year prior, and caught a really nice trout and took a picture, actually took two or three pictures, and then let it go, and then Puppy goes, I hope you put your token in the picture. I'm like, Nikes. Which I didn't say Schnikes.
Yeah.
But yeah. Yeah. Wasn't very happy. Wasn't very happy at all. So,
you know, it's kind of funny, you know, you mentioned the token thing, you know. Another thing about them CPR tournaments that some people, you know, they fail to realize is that with a CPR division, granted, you know, it's one of them things where you get it in your head and you get bent on the fact, oh, man, people are going to be turning in these big fish. But, you know, in these CPR tournaments, just like the Cars Park Redfish Challenge, you know, dude, that was, like, a ridiculously tough day. I mean, you know, when people are turning in, like, 15, 16-inch fish in a CPR tournament, it makes you wonder, you know what I mean? So, don't ever really call it out on yourself to take a picture of a freaking 15-inch fish because you never know. That could get you in a place, you know?
Oh, yeah. Listen, let me tell you what. I have been a part of many of event where I have watched a dude walk up after the weigh-in is over, not having checked in any fish, only to say, I caught a 17.5 incher or an 18.5 incher or whatever, and that fish would have put him in some money.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Good buddy of mine did that same exact thing. You know, we sought out after, you know, some fish together that day and kind of, you know, got off the grid together. And when I met back up with him, he told me that he had that he ended up throwing back a 15-inch fish and an 18-inch fish and never took a picture of them. And that would have still put him in, like, ninth place. And, I mean, heck, you would have walked away with, like, $70-something dollars. But, I mean, you know, that's whatever, $70 more than what you walked up with. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. You never know, man. Never know. You
never know.
So you try. So, there you have it. My really, really weak, unofficial rundown of the fish didn't sound like. I apologize. Next time I'll try harder to get the actual information needed to make a good representation of what happened out there.
Oh, it was tough, to say the least. It was tough.
Yeah. Well, I mean, anytime you got a couple fronts pushing in, and you got a storm coming across the state, and then, you know, barometric pressure's dropping and rising all the time, and let's just get all started, man. It happens.
Oh, yeah.
So switching gears now, real quick, want to talk about the Veterans Day raffle to benefit the Heroes on the Water Space Coast chapter, I believe. Yeah, Space Coast chapter. So basically, over at Harry Goods Outdoor Shop down at, I believe it's 12, hold on, let me pull up the picture. I don't want to get Richard's address wrong. 1231 East New Haven Avenue in Melbourne, Florida. Harry Goods Outdoor Shop, obviously, for those who live local, well, very well known, very well respected, family owned and operated forever. And myself over at KBB Outfitters, located at 410 South Hopkins Avenue, Titusville, Florida, in the historic downtown district of Titusville. Believe it or not, it is historic. We decided to get on board and help out and try and get some tickets for this great benefit. Tickets are $1 per ticket, or you can do 25 tickets for $20. Drawing will be held Sunday, November the 16th at the Howe Barbecue in Merritt Island, at Merritt Island's Kiwanis Park, Kiwanis Island Park. Need not to be present to win. Purchase your tickets at both Harry Goods or my shop at KBB Outfitters. You can also PayPal your tickets as well. PayPal for your tickets as well. So for more information, feel free to contact M as in Mike dot Conneen, C-O-N-N-E-E-N. Let's go over that again. Mike as in, well, sorry. You can try it one more time. One more again. Jesus, I'm tired, man. M as in Mike dot Conneen. It's spelled Charlie Oscar November, November, Echo, Echo, November at yahoo.com. Mike Conneen, M. Conneen, sorry, M. Conneen, yahoo.com. There you go. You want to contact Mike and purchase some tickets over PayPal, you can do so. And with that, there's raffle items that are consisting from the following manufacturers and companies, such as Slayer Inc. Lure Company, Scott Graham's Outdoor Art Snook Necklace, the DeBones Carver, he's doing redfish necklaces, Custom Rods, you got Yeti Prize Pack, Banks Lure Prize Pack, Razor Fins Apparel, Estrada Art Apparel and Prints, and more. Recently added to that list was Fishkins, Impact Lures, Skiff Life, and Adventurous Custom Rods by one Mr. Durwood Roberts. So, there you go. Some pretty cool prize packs there, and pretty cool prize items available for you to win and to support a great cause. 100% of the funds that will be raised will stay local. Howe is a nonprofit organization that takes heroes out kayak fishing, and after that, they eat lunch. All of this costs money, so please help out if you can. There are some great prizes, and the tickets can be bought at Harry Goods again, as we said, and KBB Outfitters. I'm just trying to read off what I got here online. Sorry for being all jumbled. I'm off my game.
Yeah, that's a great organization, man. Heroes on the Water does great things for great people, you know?
Oh, yeah. I mean, they've got a lot of guys involved in you know, getting on the water. And I've watched plenty of people walk through our doors who have gone out and paddled with them and actually had quite the interest in picking it up. So that's pretty awesome.
Oh, yeah.
So there you go. Also on the phone lines.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hang on a second. Stand by. Hold on. For your job well done on your business class that you basically threw down this afternoon for us all. Thank you, sir.
Yes, indeed. It was a good day.
Yeah. Good day getting rained on. Good day with good friends. Good day drinking cold beers. It's usually a pretty good day.
Exactly.
We can never keep Steve awake. We might be all right.
Oh, Lester? Yeah. Go Lester. Well, actually, Lester and Alex were both nodding off at the same, not the same time. Anyhow, it was cool, though. I will tell you, watching Captain Pat in the kayak was quite entertaining. And then to find out that he fell in the water trying to get out of the kayak was even better.
Yeah, that was probably the highlight of the day was getting Captain Pat in the kayak.
I was wondering when I came back around the corner, I was wondering why Pat was wearing a whole different wardrobe, and then I found out.
Oh, yeah.
I thought it was pretty funny myself.
Yeah, well, he was making fun of me, fat kid in a little boat, trying to climb into the kayak, and see, it just goes to show you, you know. You should stick some stones, man. You shouldn't talk trash, because you do. Sometimes bad things happen, and Captain Pat tried to talk trash, and he fell in the water. I'm honestly just
saying.
Not a good sense to see it, because it would have been awesome. Just saying. Pat. He was fun. He was a trip. He's paddling in behind me. Look at this. This is all right, you know? Paddling around the house, and then all of a sudden I hear, my legs hurt. What? Time for you to go back, man. You should just go back. And then rain got picked up a little bit harder and harder to get. But it was cool. Got to explore some cool spots, check out some new areas, and found out that areas that we thought weren't too deep were really deep, and areas we thought would be deep are not deep at all. Some surveying, if you will. So it was very interesting. And yeah, whatever. It's always a good time hanging out on Sunday, Monday. So anyway, if anyone's out there who wants to call in and share a story with us or fishing report or looking forward to doing something, have a question, comment, concern, or whatever, feel free to call. As always, the guest call-in line number is 714-816-4727. 714-816-4727. So what else new and exciting, Mr.
Gritsky? Not a whole lot. Kind of a slow week in the charters, and take the time to get some of the business side of the charter industry done. You got to do that every now and then, I guess. And relax a little bit and see what this weather is going to do to us. Today was a monsoon. Hopefully it doesn't continue that way. It's supposed to clear up throughout the week. And you know, kids are off of school tomorrow, so who knows? I might end up on the water somewhere.
Yeah, indeed, the kids are off from school tomorrow. Well, so let's see. All right, I'm gonna flip the script. Put the script. Here we go. I don't know, man. I'm running out of shit to talk about. So, yeah. Fly tying. That's the topic. Go with it. No,
I'm good.
Go ahead, man. You can go ahead.
No, you were able to put out a pattern that, what was it, the muskrat? That got you a fish.
So Captain Pat Murphy comes into the shop the other day, and we're talking about, you know, fly tying. Captain Pat's been tying flies for a long time, and you know, got a lot of respect for the guy for that. You know, it's part of the industry that seems to be somewhat dwindling away. I mean, it's, you don't see nearly as many of the old guys. I don't mean to call Captain Pat old, but you don't see many of the older guys being so forthcoming with information when it comes to tying flies. So, at least not around here. So, Captain Pat came in and gave somewhat of a seminar
on how to spin deer hair to make pretty cool fly patterns, all kinds of different stuff you can do when you do that, whether it be mice or rats or worms or divers, bait fish patterns, all kinds of crazy stuff. So my second fly that I've ever tied this style turned out looking more like muskrat than like the original plan of a bait fish. So I figured, well, we're looking for bass. Perhaps maybe a bass will eat this. And sure, lo and behold, one did. And really, that's, to me, that's part of the allure of kayak, or not kayak fly fishing, but just fly fishing in general, is being able to take something that, you know, whether it be a natural material or a man-made material, and create something that once placed in the water and stripped back to you looks and acts like something in the natural world that can fool a fish. It's pretty cool. I'm not going to lie. It is pretty awesome. And what I learned about spinning deer hair is that I need more deer hair, because you go through a ton of deer hair to do these flies. I've got one at the shop now that I think I might just leave the way it is. I'm going to call him Kermit the Fish or something, or Kermit, I don't know. It's a green, white, giant fuzzball. TJ saw it today. But all of that, that's a lot of deer hair, you know? And
oh, yeah.
But the thing is when you trim that thing down, you take a double-sided razor or take a pair of good, really sharp scissors, and you trim that thing down, you can create something that almost swims underwater when stripping it. And that's what that little muskrat-looking thing I tied up did. I flipped it over towards you, and you saw it underwater. I think it just looked good, didn't it? TJ?
Oh, yeah. Like Pat was saying, though, you know, whenever you put more of that deer hair in there like that, it makes a higher density. So
yeah.
When you trim it down, it becomes more aerodynamic. So it
right.
becomes, you know, easier to throw, and you can throw it with a lighter weight fly rod, you know, per se. So, you know, you just kind of got to watch how much material you're using within that fly.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. I mean, the first time I went to do it, I was being all sparse with the hair, maybe, you know, a half a dozen, maybe 2 dozen strands at a time. And Pat's like, just get yourself a big clump. And he grabs the scissors and, like, cuts, like, half the body hair to pieces. And it's like, yeah, just stuff that on the hook. Just stick that right there. That'll be fine. I'm like, my God, man.
Just mount it on
there. Put
some
glue on it. Yeah, just put some glue on it. It'll be fine.
Just mount it on there.
Yeah. Well, I tell you that story to tell you this story. So the other evening, I should say, at the shop, we had some folks come by. They lived down in Melbourne Beach, and they were next door looking at kayaks. Well, they walked in to the outfitter shop, and we're sitting tying some flies up. And so they walked over and were talking with me, and turns out she has a vise, she has a bunch of tools, she has all kinds of stuff at home that was her father's fly fishing or fly tying gear, and she's trying to learn and get into it and figure it all out. So anyway, we took the time to go through and show her how to tie up a couple of one different pattern that what she was probably used to seeing. And it's interesting, because as soon as she got home, the first thing she did, she jumped onto her bench and she tied up a fly real quick. So she sent me a picture of the fly on social media. Well, that's what I'm talking about. It was like they saw it and she had to go to it. It's like a weird, I don't know, man. I don't know if any of you guys feel that way when you come in and you see us tying or whatever, but it's like a weird thing where, like, all of a sudden you just, man, now I'm pumped. Now I need to go do that. So, like, I can watch Captain Pat spin deer hair and trim it out and make a really great, you know, diver pattern or whatever, or slider. And then I can turn and I can watch Lester do the same thing. I can only sit back and wait my turn on a vise for so long, you know. I mean, like, I like have this weird need to create stuff when devices sitting there just, you know, not being utilized. And by the way, I am the proud owner of a Renzetti Saltwater Traveler, and I'd like to thank the fine folks over at Renzetti for keeping their business local here in Titusville and also employing as many people as they do and doing all the great charitable type events that they do as well. Great organization. If you're looking for anything fly tying related, vices, scissors, bobbins, I mean, stackers, anything, they've probably got it. I know they have it. So check out the Renzetti's if you get a chance. And Renzetti.com, I believe, is their website. What do you think, TJ? Are you going to start getting more into tying or what?
Oh, absolutely, man. Every time I come in there, you know, Steve's tying or Pat's sitting there, him hauling around on the bench. And, you know, every time I see something, man, I just want to dive into it, you know, try it out and see what the dealio is. And, you know, that's what it's all about, though, is, you know, using your resources, you know, getting involved with it and, you know, physically putting your hands on it. Just like you said, you know, there's only so much time before you can just sit there and watch so much before you just say, hey, man, just give me that stuff and let me do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, how about you, Alex?
You know, I haven't tied a fly in so very long, but, you know, I feel it's a lot like, you know, anybody who ties their own fishing rod or, you know, makes their own lures, whether it's a, you know, sitting there carving a wooden lure and putting some big old hooks on it or pouring their own plastics or, you know, tying flies. You know, if you're able to make something and create it yourself and then take that creation, whatever it happens to be, whether it's a rod or a fly, and then go apply it to the water and get yourself a fish with it. It's definitely taking fishing to another step, I would say. You know, there's a lot of different levels of angler you can become. You know, there's, you know, everybody from the guy who just sits on the shoreline soaking a shrimp and hoping something bites to, you know, the guy who's on the bow of a boat casting that same shrimp at a redfish he sees. You know, it's different levels and taking yourself to a level where you're actually creating something and then using that creation to put fish on your boat, or your kayak, whichever it may be. You know, it's definitely it's a fulfilling process, and I definitely understand where it is. The first flies I ever tied were just real simple clousers and stuff like that for the tarpon out there on my street. And you know, there was nothing better than tying up a couple flies and going out and hooking tarpon on them. And they were much better than any fly you bought at a store or anything like that. Mostly not because they swam better or looked better or anything like that, but because it actually came from your hands and put you on that fish. It's definitely a different experience. And, you know, it's not for everybody, but for people that are looking to get a little more intimate with their fishing and understanding the prey items of the fish that they chase a little better, you know, there's nothing, you know, nothing more fulfilling than tying up some flies and hooking some nice fish on them.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun too. I mean, honestly, just to sit down and come up with something. Hoping what's really interesting, well, I guess what would be the harder thing to do is to try and come up with something new, right? Try and come up with something that's brand new, that's never been done before, like a new fly, a truly new fly. Like, it sounds like it's pretty easy, something easy, relatively easy to do, but I'm telling you, everything seems to be a variation of something else. Follow me? I mean, like I tie, I call them tarpon toads, they are tarpon toad, but tarpon toads and quans to me are two of my favorite flies to throw for redfish and for tarpon. And, you know, I'll take a quan and a tarpon toad and kind of, you know, flip-flop a little bit. I'll take the head of the tarpon toad and put the tail of the quan on the tarpon toad or vice versa, whatever the case may be. So it's just a variation of that fly. But, you know, what's really cool, and today was a good demonstration of that for me anyway, was that fly fishing is definitely something you can do quite easily from a kayak as long as you really watch where your line's going. You have to really pay attention to where you're stripping your line out. That's all I got to say.
foods. Your line can get tangled around stuff within the cockpit of the kayak, tangled around anything from, well, anything. I think today I had my line tangled around just about everything you can tangle on in the kayak at one point or another. A little frustrating at first, but, you know, once I figured out, okay, if I drop the fly line right here, I'm good, and I didn't have any more problems. You know, and one of the things we get a lot, or one of the questions we get a lot at the shop, and two, I get sometimes from time to time on Facebook, is, you know, what weight fly rod should I be looking for to grab to fish from a kayak, or, you know, what weight fly rod should I look for to go just fish, you know, wading or throw off the beach and this, that, and the other. Well, depending upon your prey, depending upon your target species. Yeah, that will all really depict what you're gonna want to throw. Now, I guess the elephant in the room would be, yeah, fly fishing looks like it could be really, really expensive. And don't get me wrong, it can be very, very expensive if you just jump in feet first and decide, I'm going to buy this and I'm going to buy that and, you know, top of the line this and top of the line that and so on and so forth. Here on the Space Coast, what we do, redfish, trout, snook, small tarpon, things like that, you don't really have to have the greatest of equipment to get started. However, with that being said, if you buy junk, it's going to be junk, right? In the fly fishing world, that's like the one, I think fly fishing is the only style of fishing where you really don't want to go that route, if at all possible, right? I mean, because if you go out and you buy, you know, a $40 fly rod or $100 fly combo and you take it out into the salt, chances are you end up having some issues with it. Now, pushing that $200 mark, you can get into stuff nowadays that will actually hold up probably longer than the stuff that was twice as expensive 5 years ago, if that makes any sense. So, like, typically, down here, you know, what would you say, Alex? What would you say, an 8-weight, 9-weight would be a good starter weight class to get into for the river?
Yeah, that eight weight can handle, you know, handle a bigger redfish. It can handle, you know, if you might happen to happen into a bigger snook or a bigger tarpon, but still not so big that you're going to kill yourself throwing it all day long. So eight weight's definitely the prime setup for our area for sure.
And then, you know, if you guys decide you want to throw off the beaches. And when I say that, standing on the beach or from a kayak off the beach or from a boat off the beach, I personally wouldn't really recommend doing it with anything smaller than a 10. 10 weights would be a good, in my opinion, would be a good weight class to go with for a number of different reasons, but if nothing else, the obvious, you're fishing the ocean. If you hook something rather large on an 8-weight, you're probably never going to see your fly line ever again. Most fly reels are not built to handle the kinds of stress that a big fish can put on a reel, unless you get up there in the high dollar stuff. And, you know, but keeping it simple, entry level, I want to learn how to do this. It's always been something I've wanted to do. You know, there's a lot of options out there too. And what I would do if I were you is I'd go find your local fly shop, wherever that may be, walk in, explain to them that you are a complete noob. You've never done it ever before in your entire life, right? It's very important to say that because most fly shops worth their weight in gold, they're not going to turn around and say, okay, well, we're going to give you this combo and this is going to be the one to do and this is the only one you should ever buy and blah, 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 blah. Most of them should explain to, or ask you a few questions like, what are you going to target? Where are you going to be fishing? You know, what time of year are you fishing? And blah, 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 that kind of thing. So all of that stuff combined should help to give you a pretty good idea of what to look for, what to buy. Stay off some of the message boards and the forums and the Facebook pages and all that kind of stuff. And, try and stay away from that stuff when asking about equipment, because what I see it tends to happen is you get 50 answers and not one of them is exactly the same. So now you just confuse yourself even worse. Right? And allow the store that you go to kind of hold the burden of you making a good choice in whatever product it is. So say you buy a fly rod combo from somebody and it turns out that the rod really isn't doing what you thought it was going to do or whatever the case may be. At least you have a place to go back to and kind of try and figure out exactly what it is that's making that rod maybe not work for you. Classes and seminars and things like that are all great things, great tools to jump in on and pick up on, especially if you're going to go and really try to make a go at fly fishing kind of hardcore. It would make sense to go out and spend an hour with somebody who knows what they're doing and maybe can give you a couple of pointers and get you past the beating yourself in the back of the head with a fly, time in your early fly fishing career, or hooking a house, or hooking the trees behind you, or all the various fun things I used to do when I was a kid. I think I pierced my ear 5 times with a fly as I was learning how to throw it. So I know I embedded a fly one time in the back of my head. That was cool. My buddy pulled it out. It's fun. It is. It's not dangerous. I mean, I just made it sound dangerous, but it's not dangerous. And to me, there's nothing more rewarding. It's so much more intimate than throwing a spinning rod or throwing a bait caster where you're hooking a fish that's 50, 60 feet, 70, 80 feet away from you, 90 feet away from you. You might not even see it. So many times when you're fly fishing, that bite happens when you're 10 to 15 feet away from the fish, sometimes even closer. It's definitely a bit more interesting and entertaining. And I think you're going to start seeing more fly fishing type categories and tournaments and fly fishing tournaments themselves. I know that I'd like to put together a couple of them myself. And so, it's something different to do for sure. Definitely kind of separates you from the rest of the pack, so to speak, when it comes to, diversity and being able to target fish even when the plastics and the hard baits aren't working. Sometimes it's that subtle fly that hits the surface and just barely sinks and is almost neutral buoyant and slowly drops in front of their face and they crush it. So that's it. That's my soapbox. That's my spiel about fly fishing again tonight. We're going to talk quite a bit about fly fishing over the next couple of months. And, that's about it about that. I'm looking, TJ, if you could see me right now, right? I feel the way that Alex looked earlier when he was falling asleep in the chair.
Oh, man.
Alex
That's the way
sat there
I looked
for...
night, man.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah, man. That freaking tournament about killed me.
Yep. Alex is sitting there in the chair, just nodding off. Eyes are about to roll in the back of his head, and Steve Lester almost fell off a couch. That was interesting. The weather takes a lot out of you. It does. I mean, when you're out there and you're paddling around, you're exploring new areas, and your mind is moving at a million miles an hour because you're trying to digest everything that you're seeing and all of the contours that you're finding about the bottom and this, that, and the other. And then you couple that with cold rain, cold wind, and very, very much so not prepared group of guys out there pedaling around and paddling around in basically a monsoon to try and figure out if there's any fish in these bodies of water. And it wears you out, man. It wears on you.
It's a tough life.
It's a tough life, yeah. Here I am complaining that I got to go outside and sit in the kayak and get rained on while everybody else sat in their cubicle or sat in their office and worked today. So I guess in retrospect, it's really not that bad. I guess I shouldn't complain.
Grapefruit.
No. Anybody got anything to add?
What is the I know that there's a little bit of an econ trip going on this this weekend, and some other fun stuff with the HAL event and stuff like that. Is there anything on tap from KBB Outfitters that we should know about this weekend? Special sale. Are you giving all the guides on the radio station tonight are getting 90% off in the store, something like that, you know?
That's a good idea. 90%
off.
90% off. No, it's not going to happen. But this weekend, I got a phone call a couple weeks ago, and somebody asked me if we're going to have a Black Friday sale. And I said to myself, self, are we going to do a Black Friday sale, or are we just going to do a sale before Black Friday? Or will we do both? And I said, you know what, self? I think that doing a sale before Black Friday sale makes a lot of sense. Maybe catch folks
complete
before
sense.
They go, huh?
I said complete sense. Sale before Black Friday sale.
Right. So that's what we're going to do. This coming weekend, which, by the way, coincides with the food truck wars that will be going on downtown Titusville, straight across the road or straight across US-1 from our location, on the other side of the, on the northbound side of US-1. It will also coincide with the opening of the brand new, wait for it. Shoot, I can't find it. There it is. Wait for it. Waylanda Brewery. Wah, wah, wah. And there was much rejoicing. Come on, guys. Jeez. No one's
the crowd
about
is
a brand new brewery.
Brewery.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway. You guys are lame. Playlander Brewery opens its doors this weekend. Food Truck Wars in downtown Titusville. Before the Black Friday sale this weekend, started kicking off on Friday. And there'll be deals to be had. I'll post those on the KBB Outfitters Facebook page. So keep your eyes peeled on that. There'll be some deals that will only be available to those who like the KBB Outfitters page. So I'll post some super secret little coupons and whatnot on that page. And if you print them out or just tell me about them at the shop, then we'll honor those said coupons. So there you go. You want to do a little early Christmas shopping before the turkey, before all the crazy people trampling each other over for televisions and Barbie dolls and whatever else is going to be hot this year. Stroll on into KBB Outfitters and or call me if you've got something that you're looking for and you're out of state and you want me to ship it to you. I'd be more than happy to do so. There you go. That's all I got.
There you go.
TJ?
Yes, sir.
Do you have anything else to add, sir?
No, I was just wondering if I like KBB Outfitters again on Facebook, do I get, like, extra coupons or something, or what?
This is becoming the KBB Outfitters hour. Yeah. If you like the KBB Outfitters Facebook page, then I'm going to, you know what, I'll start all of this for the sale, but starting January 1st, it will be closed. When we get back after our vacation, after the holiday season, what I'll do is maybe like once a week, we'll put up a coupon that can be used at the shop that week. and then we'll do it like a separate deal in the following week, or maybe we'll do it monthly. We'll figure it out. We'll figure it out. There will definitely be bonuses and special deals for those who give us love on social media. There you go.
Oh, man, that sounds like a sweet deal.
Sounds like you're reading from a cue card. I'll give you $5 for the show. I'll PayPal it over to you.
Oh, Lord.
So, Chuck, how about you tell me about those sweet deals that you guys have going on at KBB Outfitters? To which I reply, why, yes, you are correct. Folks, stop on down at KBB Outfitters, and we will get you hooked up with deals. Awkward smile.
We're missing Peppy tonight. That's who we're missing.
Yeah, Peppy's not here. Peppy's not here. He's sick, man. His whole family's sick. So,
yeah, I know. We're coming down with it too, man.
Oh, well, anyway.
That's got to be a tough one with three kids all tearing through the house, puking everywhere.
See, what really sucks is that it's three kindergartners that are all running around like little petri dishes in their classrooms. And, you know, when one gets it, it's bad enough. Like when Trey goes to school and he gets sick from being at school, you know, we try and quarantine Logan, kind of keep him away from Trey as much as possible. But when you've got triplets and they run around like Peppy's kids do, I mean, there's no way you can stop that from spreading. There's just no way that's going to happen. Quarantine or not, it's just not going to happen. It'll be like that nurse up north where they'll be out riding their bikes around each other and stuff and coughing and gagging on everybody. So, whatever. That's all I got. Sorry, folks. I'm just wore out. Hopefully next week's show will be much better. Don't forget, we still have on Wednesday night, we've got the Low Sodium Show with Mark Wheeler. And then on Thursday nights, we have the Godfather himself, Mr. Chip Gibson. With the round table, the Buzzards Row round table discussion, which is always a good show. So there you go. But with that being said, I'm getting out of here. So Alex, go ahead and do your thing, brother.
For those looking to find me, book a charter, talk fishing, go ahead and hit me up on the interweb, locallinescharters.com, or give me a call at 321-480-3255. Make sure you stop by KBB Outfitters. They will have you hooked up the right way. That is for sure. That's all I got for you.
Appreciate it, brother. It was fun today. Look forward to another Monday fun day. And, you know, tell the family to sit hello and enjoy that day off with the kids. TJ.
Yes, sir.
What's going on, man? You plan on fishing the rest of this week at all or going into the weekend?
I sure am. Just like always, going to, you know, go out and do my thing as much as I can, man.
Very cool. Very cool. Oh, goodness, I'm sorry, dude.
Dang, Chuck. Going to sleep on us over there, buddy.
Bad, man. It's bad. Just got called into work. The kids are out there snoring on the couch. Dogs are sitting here on top of my feet. Tonight's beverage is brought to me by Canadian Dry. Canadian Dry Ginger Ale. For those days where you just feel like having ginger ale. I don't know what to say. It's delicious. Let's try it out. Whatever. I like to thank Tyson Chicken Patties because they're delicious. They're in my belly. I'd also like to thank Rice-A-Roni, the San Francisco treat, because you're easy to make and I suck at cooking. And I don't know, man. I'm just wasting some time. We're getting out of here. Folks, I appreciate
it.
Thank you so much for listening. What?
Hey, if I could give a little shout out real quick. I just want to give a little shout out to my buddy Paulie. aka Custom Rods. You can find them on Facebook. All I can say is the guy makes a darn sick rod. That's about all I can say about that. So if anybody's in the little market to get a little custom rod made, hit up Polly, aka Custom Rods, on Facebook. You'll get you taken care of. Yeah, KBB Outfitters. Kayaks by boat. Keeping me floating all the time and keeping my lines tight.
Thanks, homie. Appreciate that. And so I'm going to do something a little bit different. Getting off the end of the show here, I'm not going to go into my long tutorial of all of the brands in which I help to represent. I will, however, plug a few and then throw in a new from here on through. It's just a few at a time, and you know, we'll figure it out at some point. Things are progressing here at the show, and I think there's some cool stuff coming, so we'll just go like this route. Thank you very much, of course, to Hobie Watercraft for putting me on the water in arguably the best boats on the planet. That Pro Angler 17 is staring me in the face every single day I go to work. I cannot wait to get one in my hands. I'd like to thank, of course, Bending Branches Paddles. Folks, we may or may not be working on something that will help with propulsion for you on the flats from Bending Branches Paddles. And I believe I'm going to be getting one of the demos to play with and try out and see how it works out. And, of course, Intova Cameras. Thank you so much, Intova Cameras. And, that'll work for tonight. Tom and Lynn at Kayaks by Boat. And, thank you guys very much for giving me the opportunity to do what I do over the other side of the wall. And that's it. That's all I got. So that being said, folks, I hope you have a wonderful week. Hit me up on, don't hit me up on my personal page. Hit me up on the TV Outfitters page or on the Kayak Fishing Radio page, as I've stepped away from my personal page for a little while on social media. Just need to get some things in line and refocus my energy on positive stuff. So, there you go. With that being said, everybody have a great evening. And keep fishing, the future of our sport, right? So until next time, we'll talk to you guys later. I'm Charles Levi signing off. See ya.